السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. قل أطيعوا الله والرسول فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator and our sustainer, and may the special and choices, peace, mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. My respected friends and elders, indeed we are very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. And Allah ta'ala has raised us from the ummah of our beloved Nabi Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moreover, we find ourselves in a position where we are able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're able to utter the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're able to place our heads in sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a great ni'mat and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you must never forget. And the best form of appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have mentioned that if a person is able to, in today's time of fitna, today's time of corruption, of mischief, if a person is just able to stay away from guna, a person is able to stay away from sin, then such a person could become the wali of the time, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today I want to reflect on a very short hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet it is also a very, very powerful hadith. It is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will change our understanding of hijrah from just physical movement to a spiritual one. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which I'm referring to is which I recited in the opening khutbah, in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, and this hadith is found in Bukhari Sharif, that al-muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. That a true muhajir, a person who migrates, is that person who leaves all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Now the word muhajir, it comes from the word hijra or hajara. And the word hajara means to leave something behind. So a muhajir in the true sense of the word is that person who abandons all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. And he moves towards that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In essence, that is a true muhajir. So in the terminology of Sharia, and just as a little background of why I'm speaking on the aspect of hijrat, you know, when you look at our English calendar, the 16th of July, today is 18th, but the 16th of July, 622 was the day that Nabi Akram Sasa made hijrat from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat, there were two groups of people. The muhajirin, those people who were able to make hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instruction beforehand, or they joined Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after. And there are those people who unfortunately were not in a position to make hijrat and join Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once Makkah Mukarramah was conquered, Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that la hijrata ba'd al-fath, that now that Makkah Mukarramah is conquered, then there is no hijrah. There is no hijrah. There will be no migration. The compulsory migration, which was necessary for every sahabi to do at that time, if they were in a position to do, to leave Makkah Mukarramah and join Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. So in the terminology of deen, we look at hijrat as three types. One is, a person leaves Darul Fasad and a person goes to Darul Aman. Darul Fasad would be such a place, such an area which becomes impossible for a person to practice on his deen fully. That where a person is in a position where he has to even compromise the faraiz of deen. Like for example, it's not possible for a person to perform his salam, not possible for a person to eat halal, or is forced to consume that which is haram. So it is a place where it is very difficult for a person to remain as a good mu'min and a good Muslim. Darul Aman. Darul Aman would be like our South Africa and countries like these, where it's a non-Muslim country, not necessarily a Muslim country, but where a person has the freedom to practice his deen and religion. And that is a great ni'mah that we have. I mean, what we have here in South Africa, in terms of freedom of deen, there are very, very few countries and very few communities that are really blessed in that particular way. And so a person leaves Darul Fasad and he goes to Darul Aman for the preservation of his deen, so that he can practice freely upon his deen and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have another situation where a person is in Darul Kufr, and then one would have to leave Darul Kufr and go towards Darul Islam. And that was the example of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who left Makkah Mukarramah and they came to Medina Munawwara. Because Medina Munawwara was the foundation of a new Islamic society, where every person in Medina Munawwara was able to express himself freely in terms of his deen, his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a freedom of deen, freedom of religion. The Muslims could practice, they could live as they wanted to live as Muslims. There was absolutely no restriction upon them. The first hijrah, which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum undertook during Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time of Makkah Mukarramah, and he went to Abyssinia. There the king of Abyssinia, Najashi, who was a Christian, he gave the Muslims safe place to live. And there, although they in the Christian country, they were able to practice freely upon their deen, freely upon their religion. And that is an example of Darul Aman like we have here. So those were the different situation that were with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Once Makkah Mukarramah was conquered, then there were two groups of people. Those who made hijrah and those who did not make hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this hadith to these two groups of people. And that is where the third category of hijrah comes in. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Al-Muhajiru man hajara man hallahu an. That a true muhajir is that person who abandons and he leaves aside all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So to those people who did not make hijrat or did not have an opportunity to make hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not on their own doings but because of circumstances, to them it was a consolation that we were not able to do that. But now that Makkah Mukarramah is conquered, there will be no hijrat for you. But as a consolation, remember, a true muhajir is that person who lives his life in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he stays away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is who a true muhajir is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left him with a lasting message that do not become, and to the muhajireen, those who made hijrah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for them it was a message that don't become complacent. That now that you've made hijrat and Allah has given you a safe place and Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat, we enjoy in it, but don't ever become complacent as far as your deen is concerned, your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. Because the real hijrat, the real muhajir, the real migration is to leave aside the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to leave guna, to leave sin, and to come to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we are living in such a world that we are overwhelmed with chaos, confusion, immorality, disintegration of values. And it is very, very difficult for us to cope with all of these things. This hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brothers, when we reflect on it and we consider it carefully, It is not only a guiding light for each one of us, but it is a wake-up call. It is a wake-up call for us as a Muslim ummah, that if we want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoying the ni'mats and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then each one of us within our own spaces will have to become a muhajir. To leave aside that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to abandon all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His obedience. So if we take this hadith further in context, a true muhajir would be that person who gives up backbiting. And instead of backbiting, a person chooses to be a sincere friend and give advice to a person in a sincere platform. So a true muhajir would be that person who would give up corruption, getting involved in anything which is wrong, and he will choose that which is correct, even if it is at his own expense. That is what a true muhajir would be. A true muhajir would be that person who will guard his eyes. A true muhajir would be that person who guards his ears. One who would guard the tongue. One who would guard the hands. And one who guards his heart. That will stay away from all those avenues which invites a person towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immorality, promiscuity, anything which is against the spirit of deen and spirit of Islam, such a person will avoid it at all times, so that such a person comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ibn Hibban, there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. What a beautiful hadith, brothers. Wherein Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah would be that person who gives up the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever that person may be or whoever that person may be. The last part of the hadith qualifies who it is. So wherever that person may be, irrespective of a person's geography, irrespective of a person's family lineage, irrespective of where a person, which era a person, which generation a person would live. Not necessarily the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, not necessarily the people of Makkah Mukarrama, not necessarily those person who are Arabs or the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the person will be closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they may be, in the end of the world, an unknown person, but he lives his life free from sin, free from gunam, then such a person will be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever they may be, it's not only the legacy of Arabs to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But every person, every human being, through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has an opportunity of creating a special link with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the beauty of our deen, and our closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the world that we are living in today, brothers, while it has become very, very difficult for a person to remain steadfast on his deen, you know, it is very difficult because there are so many challenges that we face as a Muslim ummah. Sometimes society, and in most cases society, is such that guna and disobedience is so overwhelming that even that person is doing right, he may consider that he is doing something which is wrong. And that is one of the signs of Qiyamah that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned as well, that a time will come when people will consider good to be bad and bad to be good. A good person will be considered to be a bad person. A bad person will be considered to be a good person. Such a time will come. Such a time will come. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised that when fitna comes to such a level where it's difficult for a person to protect himself from guna, difficult to protect himself from disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what should a person do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised that withdraw from society. Become a loner. You know, live on your own. And if you have to do, to go into the mountains, and the sole source of your income would be a little goat which gives milk. If that is the only way in which you can protect and preserve your deen and your iman, then that is what you should do. That is what you should do. There's a story which I want to share with you, brothers, that there was a brother, and we look at the time in which we are living in today. During my student days, when I used to go for Jummah, then there was a person who always used to invite us for meals. And his dastarkhan used to be such that at any given Jummah there used to be 20 to 30 people It's a random people. And that was his way of calling people. So one day, just before I left from his place and I had meals with him, he said to me, "Maulana, you know, I want to ask you a question. And maybe when you got some time, then you should, we can sit and we can discuss this further." So I said, "But what is it?" And not qualified, I was still young at that time, I couldn't really give him the answers that he was looking for. He says, "Can you please explain to me why interest is haram?" And in my understanding, Islam, na'udhu billah, has failed to tell us why it is haram for a person to consume riba and interest. So I said, "You know what, I don't really have this type of answers for you. I'm still young, I'm still learning. And I don't want to get involved in a type of a discussion." And then he said to me something, that whatever you see, there's a whole empire that I've built. It's all built on riba earnings. And you see the amount of barakah that I have because of that. So I said to him that, "Well, Allah Ta'ala forgive you for not being able to understand, but inshallah when we have some time, we'll talk about it." Later on in life, somewhere he was reading, or some talk he was listening to somewhere, and that he came across this hadith which I just mentioned now, that the true muhajir is that person who leaves aside the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he struck a chord in his heart. Whatever interest-based earnings he had, he sold everything off. He gave everything away. And the friends that used to frequent his dastarkhan disappeared. And in good times, you have friends. In bad times, you don't find friends with you many times, unless they are true friends. So people disappeared from his dastarkhan. Nobody was prepared to help him because he gave everything off. And people made statements to say, "You're such a stupid person. You had everything going for yourself. You had everything going for yourself. Why did you give up all of this? For what? What is the reason for doing this?" So he wouldn't say anything. When I went to visit him before he passed away, he wasn't well. Then he said to me, "The only consolation I have was this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And when I read it, I thought to myself that I need to make hijrat. I need to make hijrat. I need to change my life. And the decision that I took was that, "But I promise you, although I don't have anything of this dunya, Allah has given me barakah in my life, and I have such peace and contentment that I never experienced at any other time." And this peace and contentment that he spoke about, it is what comes through the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, that guna is such, it always creates a guilty feeling in a person's heart. There's always darkness in it. That although a person is tempted to get involved in guna, and we'll get involved. At a time when you're involved in guna, you enjoy it, but there's always darkness which is associated with it. There's never pure pleasure that comes from it. Pure pleasure comes from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what he has spoken about. We are living in a world of the digital flood, brothers. You know, everything is digitally available to a person. And innocently, any person can get caught in it. So a person who switches off his screen before he gets caught into some kind of temptation to protect his soul, such a person is a muhajir. Such a person is making hijrat. Hijrat towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is who a true muhajir comes. And those are decisions that every person has to make. That we enjoy our life, brothers, with the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world is very tempting around us. And it is difficult for a person to stay away from guna. It is difficult for a person to stay away from it. Because together with the Quran Sharif, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that this is what needs to be done. But then we have shaitan who beautifies every action. He makes it, even sometimes when a person is doing that which is good, he thinks that he's doing something which is wrong. And shaitan sometimes gives a person, his strategy is such that he would get a person involved in something good in order to keep someone away from something better. And there's a story about Sayyidina Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, that a person once came to him and said to him, "Imam, you know, I lost my money and I don't know where it is." In those days they used to bury the treasures. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah says, "You're a very intelligent man, you'll figure out something." So Imam Sa'd said to him, "Okay, tonight after Isha Salah, when you return to your home, begin performing Salah with the intention of Tahajjud for the entire night. And inshallah you'll find what you have lost." So he comes home and he starts performing his Salah. And before he's even done with his first rakat, He remembers where he buried his treasure. So quickly he finishes off his salah. He goes and he digs up the place and he finds it. Then he meets Hanifa Rahmatullah and says, you know, you're a very intelligent man. How did you know I'll finally ever perform salah? He says, I didn't help you, shaitan helped you. I didn't help you, shaitan helped you. Because the moment you made that niyyah to perform salah for the entire night, shaitan would not allow you to do it. So it keep you away from something, make you do something good, to keep you from something which is better. And those are the strategies of shaitan, our enemy. Then we still have to contend with nafsul lawwama. That nafs of us that we have, that tells us to do good, but doesn't really encourage it. And then ammara, the nafs which only encourages us to do that which is wrong. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam speaks about it. Says, wa ma ubarri'u nafsi inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. That I cannot absolve myself or say that I am free from blame, because the nafs only instructs a person to do that which is evil. So one side we have shaitan, adubun mubin. Then we have our nafs to contend with. And then we have to live our lives in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to make that decision, brothers, and the dua also. And make that resolution that every one of us need to become a muhajir in the true sense of the word. That we leave aside the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whichever way possible, if we keep doing that and we take that little steps, inshallah, it is guaranteed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us satisfaction of the heart and closest to Him. And we make dua that Allah ta'ala make us among those people, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that whoever they are, wherever they may be, they'll be closest to me if they stay away from guna and they stay away from sin. May Allah ta'ala make us among them. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.